with me in your Bibles, please, to our second reading, 1 Samuel chapter 25. This is a lengthy chapter, but it's a wonderful, wonderful story. First Samuel chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them. All the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh into thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste, and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of grain of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now, David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. So, and more also, do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and fell down before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, For as his name, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing, which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted to come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us to thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So there are several lessons we can learn here in this wonderful section of Scripture. I suppose it's necessary to set the stage a little bit here. David and his men were at Samuel's funeral. They went out into the wilderness. While they were in the wilderness, they met up with a group of shepherds. The shepherds were watching over what seems to be a very large flock of sheep. While David and his men were with those shepherds, not only did they not pluck a few sheep for their own use, they protected the men and all of their sheep throughout their concourse with them. David and his men have performed a service to Nabal and his household by being guardians to that flock and to those shepherds that are in the wilderness. Yes, it was gratuitous. It was unasked for. That is true. And yet it was still a service that David and his men provided. And to hear the young men tell that story long about, I don't know, what verse is that, 16 or 17, we understand then that that was a needful service. They felt much at ease. They felt protected. They felt like David had offered a reasonable amount of service to them. And so, in standard polite ancient Near Eastern fashion then, David hears that Nabal is slaying and shearing. Well, you know, so that's a very festive time. And so because it's so festive, David says this would be a good opportunity to get a little something for my men, seeing that we watched over Nabal's flock for quite some time in the wilderness. And so he sends 10 of his young men to go meet Nabal. They've performed all those services. They have been kind. They haven't been, you know, your typical marauding band out in the wilderness, plucking what they see and taking what they want and, you know, exercising their force. Instead, what they've done is they've been servants to them. And so David sends, it's a good day, it's a rich day, it's a day of blessing in your household, Nabal. The young men that have come to you are witnessing to you that we were with your shepherds in the field. And notice what David says, very modestly, he says, we did not hurt them and we did not take anything from them. He doesn't say we protected them. The young men from Nabal's camp are actually the ones that give up that information. David very modestly, although it is indeed strongly implied, we did not hurt them, we did not take anything from them. It's implied, but this is one of those things where you're trying to be polite, so you're not tooting your own horn, you're just saying we protected them. I'm sorry, you're saying we did not take anything from them, and the implication is we were a wall about them by day and by night, although you'd never come right out and say that. So Nabal understands what's going on, in other words. And I want you to understand when Nabal responds to the young men of David, and he says, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Oh yeah, I know. There's a lot of servants that have run away from their masters today. That this is as insulting a response as it can be. Number one, we find out from what Abigail says that the household of Nabal was very much acquainted with who David was. Everybody knew about David. David was not some obscure personage. David was the one about whom they said what? Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So it's pretty clear that everyone knew who David was and that he would be king. Abigail was certain of it. She'd already said that. Or she said that in the narrative here. So when Nabal responds with, who is David? And who's the son of Jesse? Oh yeah, I know. There's a lot of servants departed from their masters these days. He's not a worthy man. He's a fugitive instead. So what has he done? In essence, according to the ancient Near Eastern custom, he has, as we have it in English custom, taken off the glove and tuk-tuk. Right? He's insulted David. Now, David, for his part, may not quite have the best reaction to that insult. Notice that when David, in the last chapter, was speaking about Saul and to Saul, very respectful. He understood Saul as one of his superiors. And so he would not, even though he was being insulted, he bowed before Saul and called himself a dead dog in a flea. Because that's what you do when you speak to a superior. Nabal is not a superior to David. Rather, because of David's position as having been anointed the next king, Nabal is an inferior to him. And so what Nabal has done is he has done despite to his next king. That is indeed to strike at the foundation of the kingdom itself. And so notice it's not just David that says something. The young men who overheard the conversation, they know what's coming next. There's no doubt what David's about to do. It may not be the best thing that David's about to do, but everybody knows what the expectation is. That David's going to mount up, and he's going to take that sword of Goliath that he got a couple of chapters back, and he's going to gird it on his side, and he's going to leave some of his men with their possessions, 200 of them, and then 400 of them going to gather up together, and they're going to go against one household of young men, shepherds. Not really a fair fight. We know what will happen. David knows what would happen. He advertises it in two particular places in the chapter where he says, there's not going to be a man left in the morning. We'll kill them all. So the young men then, they're reckoning, we're all dead men. We have to do something. And so they speak to the mistress of the house, Abigail. Abigail. Now, what is said about Abigail here? Well, I want you to notice two things that are said about Abigail. Number one, she is a woman of understanding. Number two, she is beautiful. And I want you to notice the order in which that is given. Gentlemen, young men, searching for ladies, searching for a wife someday, keep it in the right order. Keep it in the right order. She was a woman of wise and understanding thought, and she was beautiful. Keep it in the right order. Keep it in the scriptural order. That's exactly what it says about Abigail here. And so she knows what to do. She gathers up a feast, puts it on the mules or the donkeys, and says, out we go. When she meets David, she falls down at his feet. And what does she say? The offense be mine. Let your anger, let your difficulty, let your offense fall upon me, she says. And so she comes to David then as a suppliant, as someone who is coming to make right what her husband has done wrong. Notice the wisdom of this woman. I want to make sure we get the difference here between wisdom and cunning. What do you think the marriage to Nabal was like? And all she has to do is what? Nothing. And what happens in the morning? I'm free, right? I mean, let's lay it out there. What does she do instead, however? She does the right thing. She honors her foolish husband. She rises up in defense of the household, of all the servants of the house. This is truly a wise and unselfish woman. And so, she speaks to David with wise words. David, for his part, listens to her. Notice that she says a couple of things that must indeed strike a chord with David. She says, first of all, I know you'll be king. You have nothing to worry about here. Secondly, when you come to your kingdom, you will not want it on your conscience that you've acted in your own vengeance. Now, think with me for a moment. Where has David just come from? He's just come from a cave where he refused to act according to his own vengeance. Right? Isn't that interesting? And especially if I can maybe move ahead a little too quickly, when we get to the end of the chapter, we find that finally after Nabal finds out what has happened, by the way, his name means foolish, Mr. Fool. So when Mr. Fool finds out what he has done, and 10 days later the Lord strikes him and he dies, and David hears of it, what is clicking in David's mind now? I don't have to take up my own defense. The Lord will rise up for me. Now this will be of great service to him when a second time the Lord delivers Saul providentially into his hand in just a couple of chapters. So you see how the Lord is orchestrating all of these events. And so then David hearkens to the voice of Abigail. She offers him wise words. And so David turns away his intention to strike the house of Nabal. Nabal hears about it, and the Lord strikes Nabal, and he dies. Now there are a couple of things to finish up the chapter. The first one is that David recognizes in the proper order the wisdom and beauty of Abigail. And so he will go and he will ask her to be his wife, and she will say yes. She will say, yes, I will be your wife. Remember that David has begun a bad practice, however, that he's multiplying wives. And that's never acceptable. I know that it's set here as a wonderful thing. Well, it's wonderful for Abigail in that sense, in that in that in in just the ways of the world, it's an improvement to her situation, an improvement to her station. But let us remember that from the beginning it was not so. And we're just going to go right to the prophet Malachi. The Lord made one wife for Adam because he sought a godly seed. Although he had a residue of the Spirit, he could have made 100 wives if he wanted to. He made one. That's the biblical pattern. The second thing that is important for us to see here is what Abigail does when she is asked if she would marry David. She has what I would consider to be a very exemplary attitude in that she is asked to marry David. And what does she do? She says, she bows herself to the earth and she says, "Let this handmaid be a handmaid to wash the feet of the servants of my master, David." If I could just maybe memorably and perhaps with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek imitate the spirit of the age here. She doesn't put her hands on her hips, get that look on her face, and say, "Of course he came back to ask me to be his wife. What did I do for him?" Absolutely. I mean, when you consider it, he had no other option. Of course he did. Or, "I'll be your wife if you'll hear me from here on out. You'll recognize who wears the belt in the family." Okay, she doesn't say any of that. Obviously. What does she do instead? She's just done something where she's turned aside the Lord's anointed on a course that he was bent on. She has been righteous over him. She has given him the good advice that he needed and turned him aside. And what does she do? Well, she does exactly what someone in that position you'd expect to do. She continues on in that same kind of righteousness. And she says, "When I enter into the house of my master David, I'm going to be a handmaid to wash the feet of his servants." She continues in wisdom and humility, which is exactly what got the whole thing started. And so what a great example then she proves to be in her response to David's proposal of marriage. All right, thus ends the reading of 1 Samuel chapter 25. Let's continue.